Amen. We don't sing that song very often anymore, but it is impregnated with great meaning. Anywhere is home if Christ, my Lord, is there. Doesn't make any difference where we might be in our travel toward glory. As long as Jesus is with us, it's home. And he does assure us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Someone said that a Chinese Christian whose name was Lo Chung Hai took this promise of the Lord very personally, because he felt it was being spoken directly to him when Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But for every faithful child of God, that is true, whether your name is actually Lo or not. We have the assurance that he will never leave us or forsake us. If we're in the land of lowliness, anywhere is home if Christ is there. In a land of despair and disappointment, if Christ is there, it's home. In a land of sorrow and bereavement, if Christ is there, we have the assurance that we are right at home. In the land of all kinds of losses, if Jesus is there, we can be at home. Anywhere is home if Christ our Lord is there. Good to see each of you present this morning. And I want to thank you for your prayers and your expressions of condolence. I traveled to Memphis over the weekend and attended my mother's last surviving sister's funeral. There are no more girls. All seven of them are gone. One brother is gone. And the only sibling that is left is my uncle, their youngest brother. Continue to pray for the family. Pray for Louise Yule's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And pray for her surviving brother, especially. He's facing some very serious challenges. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read just a moment ago. This is a familiar passage of scripture. 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 10, and also verse number 13. Using as our specific title of this lesson this morning, when the half has not been told, when the half has not been told. Verse number one. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, Solomon's reputation was spread far and wide. his wisdom and his riches, well known throughout the known world. His reputation came to the attention of a distinctive queen, referred to as Sheba. She heard, like so many others did, of the fame of Solomon. And his fame was not just ordinary fame. His fame was associated with and was attached to his religion. It was a product of his God. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning, this is where his religion comes in, concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She was concerned about verifying the accuracy of the report that she had received. She came to make a determination if his wisdom was authentic and genuine. So she came with undoubtedly a prepared list of hard questions. She was not content to take secondhand information. She was not content to be gullible, to believe any and everything that she heard. You know, some of us are gullible today. And whomever says something to us or gives us a particular report, particularly if it is an unsavory report, especially if the report is negative in its connotation, we will swallow it oftentimes without investigation. We will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. We'll take for granted that whatever report that comes to us must be true. And oftentimes, without proper investigation, we will engage in the dissemination of the information that we received and accepted without investigation. This is so true in the religious world. So many individuals, if a preacher says it, or if a man claims to be a man of God and has a Bible in his hand or under his arm, we'll naturally assume that what he offers, that what he proclaims must be the truth. But this was not the mindset of the fabled queen of Sheba. She possessed what I like to call a healthy spirit of skepticism and questioning. So she made great preparation to make her way to Solomon, that she might prove him, that she might test him with hard questions. The Bible, Jesus himself, offers commendation to the Queen of Sheba. Jesus authenticates the significance of her quest and of her determination to examine the report that she had received. Notice with me, please, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Jesus made this particular declaration. He said, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth." And we are told that she traveled perhaps between 800 and 1500 miles to make her way to Solomon. All I can say is that girl was serious. Just think of the preparation it took, and think of the weeks or the months that it took her to leave her homeland and make her way to Solomon. Jesus said, "The Queen of the South, she shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And Jesus was saying to that generation, Jesus is saying to them, the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment and condemn you. You have me here. I'm the promised Messiah. I have come declaring that I am indeed and am the representative of God. I am God the Son. I am the Son of God. And I have offered incontestable and immutable proof of my genuineness and authenticity as the representative of God and indeed as God Himself. And you have rejected me. And I am right here in your midst. I have performed numerous signs that cannot be denied. I have offered you not only wisdom, but I have come personifying wisdom, and you have rejected me. You have no interest in real truth. You have no interest in knowing that I am the Messiah. You have no interest in becoming acquainted with the true wisdom of God. So in the judgment, the Queen of Sheba will rise up and condemn you. What if she had had access to what you have access to? She went to a great deal of trouble to come to Solomon. A greater than Solomon is here. And you won't even take time out to listen carefully to what he has to say. But she did. She sacrificed in order to make her way to Solomon. Notice her retinue. Verse number 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold. Look at the rich reservoir of resources she traveled with. She came with very much gold and precious stones, and when she was come to Solomon, and it perhaps took several months for her to make this trip, she communed with him of all that was in her heart and noticed the revelations that were made by Solomon. And I do want to mention that we must not discount or disdain the wisdom possessed by Solomon, because it was God who gave him this wisdom. God gave him wisdom, but not only the wisdom that Solomon had requested, God gave him riches as well, gave him power as well. So in verse number 3, Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. I don't know what questions you have to present to Jesus, but just like Solomon told her all of her questions, he provided all of her answers. Whatever request she made in the interrogative sense, Solomon was able to provide answers. And no matter what your question might be, no matter what your concern might be today, Jesus is able to provide the answers that you need. He will not withhold any good thing from you because he is indeed the Son of God. He is the light of the world. He is the water of life. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the way. He is the door. He is the truth. He is the life. Whatever it is you might need, whatever concern you might have, Jesus embodies the answer to all of your questions. In verse number 4, we see her reviewing all that was connected with Solomon. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Her breath was taken away. She was blown away by all of the things that were associated with Solomon. It was just overwhelming to her. It just took her breath away. You ever experienced anything where your breath was taken away? Something that was so magnificent, something that was so incomprehensibly wonderful, something that was so overwhelming that it simply took your breath away. This was the case with the Queen of Sheba. She was blown away. And I appreciate her honesty. Verse number 6 says, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. It was true, but she had reservations. In verse 7, she says, howbeit, I believe not the words. She was skeptical. She was doubtful. She said, I've discovered that the report I heard was true. Of all of your acts and your wisdom, it was true, but I didn't believe it before I came. I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. She said, I acknowledge I was skeptical. I didn't believe it. And there's something positive to be said about that kind of spirit. Don't just believe anything people say in the realm of religion especially, but also in personal life. When you hear a man say that one church is just as good as another, don't just take that at face value. You need to examine that in light of Scripture. Don't just accept the affirmation or the assertion that All roads in religion lead to the same place. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't just blindly accept the notion that a name doesn't make any difference, that there's nothing in a name. You know, some people just accept that and they say, well, there's nothing in a name, so it doesn't make any difference whether I'm a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Seventh-day Adventist or a Catholic or Lutheran or Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't make any difference. Don't you believe it? You need to, when people make those kinds of assertions, you need to challenge them with hard questions. And one good question you can always ask folk is, where do you read about that in the Bible? Where does God's word say that? With reference to the name, remember Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter speaking, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. She proved Solomon with hard questions. She challenged Solomon, and Solomon stood the test, and the word of God will stand the test. The church of Christ will stand the test. I invite you to examine it. I invite you to examine its claims. I invite you to challenge us with hard questions. You know, some people will just accept anything that that people offer. So she had the attitude, she said, I heard this report, but it was so fantastical, it was so unbelievable, it was so incredible. She said, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, this is where it comes in, behold, the half was not told me. The half hadn't been told. And I believe, and I have scriptural verification, I believe that when we get to heaven, I believe that when we are ushered into that celestial city, and when we look at the population of glory, when we look around to see the presence of the saints of all ages, and when we see the blessings, and when we see all of the wonderful provisions that God has provided us in glory, that we likely will be moved to exclaim, the half was not told me. The half hadn't been told. I believe that that's going to be the case. The Queen of Sheba, she was not too proud to say, "Well, I was mistaken. I was wrong." You know, she wasn't too proud to say, "I was wrong." Sometimes we get too proud to admit that we are wrong. You know, we get too proud to acknowledge that we've made mistakes. We get too proud to acknowledge that we have sinned. We get too proud to acknowledge that we have been stubborn. We get too proud to acknowledge that we have gotten off track. But the Queen of Sheba, she said, I believe not thy word, until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. I was wrong. You know, I didn't believe. I doubted. I questioned. But it was a true report that I heard. The Bible speaks of the noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. they possessed the same kind of commendable spirit that was exemplified by the Queen of Sheba. It says in Acts 17, 11, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of heart, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Jesus said in John 5, 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We need to search the scriptures. Look how the Queen of Sheba came to search out the wisdom of Solomon. Travel hundreds of miles. What about you searching the scripture? You don't have to go nowhere. Just sit down. Open the book. Find the place where it is written. Take time out. We have a tremendous reservoir of rich resources in the Word of God. You know, there are some people, as was intimated this morning by Brother Wally, you know, that he just looks forward to reading the Word of God. He enjoys feeding upon the Word of God. It is a delight to him. I've heard similar sentiments expressed by Sister Daniel, because she really loves the Word of God. She loves the Bible, and she enjoys reading the Bible more than watching The Edge of Night. Is The Edge of Night still on? Or The Young and the Restless? They say, you behind the times. The Edge of Night. What about As the World Turns? What about One Life to Live? What about Scandal? But Joan, I didn't know you heard about Scandal. I most certainly have. But think of all of our favorite television shows and how we enjoy watching them, and how some we won't even miss. How we look forward with great anticipation to The Voice on Monday nights and on Tuesday nights, and we're wondering who's gonna ultimately win. Will this be Pharrell's time? Or will Blake win again? But the Bible, the inspired, infallible, enduring Word of God, if you could just dig into it and not just wade along the shallow shoreline, but launch out into the deep. Let down your spiritual nets for a great catch of wisdom and knowledge and inspiration and consolation and motivation, revelation that will enrich your life beyond measure, that will bring you consolation. You know, there are so many benefits that are derived from the study of the Word of God. We need to appreciate the Word of God. We need to study it more. And we need to examine it to make sure that what we are taught is verified in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1 also encourages the questioning spirit exhibited by the ancient queen who sought the wisdom of Solomon. Notice what the Bible says in that particular passage. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. The Queen of Sheba, when she heard about Solomon's fame concerning the Lord, the name of the Lord his God, she said, "I had serious reservations. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. But now I believe." And she offered her congratulations. She said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." She said, those who live and operate in close proximity to you, Solomon, said, "Blessed are they, happy are these men, thy servants, who stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." Do you know we are even more blessed because we have a rich repository of God's wisdom encapsulated in the pages of the Bible that are available for us each and every day, continuously. Let us not take that wonderful privilege for granted. And then she says in verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." You know, she was acknowledging the sovereign power of the God of glory. I believe personally, some scholars have reservations about it, but I believe that she came to authentically believe in Jehovah, in the God of the Old Testament, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that in them are. I believe she was a convert. I believe that she was committed to and acknowledged the greatness and the authenticity of the God of glory. I believe she came to believe in the true God. And I think it is indicated in these words that she spoke. And what she says here is true. The Lord delighted in him to set him on the throne of Israel because the Lord loved Israel. All of those things are true. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. This is an accurate description of what actually had taken place. She demonstrates her wisdom by the inquiries that she made and the travel that she did and the insights that she gained and the message that she articulated. Oh, if we could have more folk with a similar spirit to that exemplified by the Queen of Sheba. Notice now, verse number 10, and we're almost finished. She gave the king 120 talents of gold. I'm told that's 9,000 pounds and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Sheba exemplified a spirit of generosity. She was not cheap. You know, a lot of us are cheap. We want to receive all of the bountiful blessings we can from the gracious hand of God. But when it comes to us giving back to God, When it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. When it comes to giving till it hurts, some folks are awful sensitive to pain. But she was willing to give generously. She was willing to give liberally. She was willing to put her money where her mouth was. Man, she brought a lot of rich resources. Can you imagine that? All that she brought and she gave to Solomon. All of these rich resources. Let us be a giving people. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. We are admonished to give, and the Lord will give back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. As a matter of fact, you cannot outgive God. Consider the spirit of Solomon. And King Solomon, verse 13, gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desires, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. The Lord outgives us all of the time. Everything that you have, God gave it to you. Speaking to the Areopagites of ancient Athens, in Acts chapter 17, Paul, describing the God of glory, said with reference to him, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, in him we live and move and have our very being. Everything that you have came to you from God. So it is not a wonderful thing that we have the capacity and the power for reciprocation. We can give back to God out of that which God has given to us. God gives so much. What are we willing to give? Psalm 37:4 reminds us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I won't go into a long elaboration, but this does not mean that whatever you ask, God will give it. If I ask for $1 million, God will give it. If I ask for 90-inch flat screen, God will give it. God will give me a new Mercedes Benz. No, if you are genuine about following God, your heart will not desire anything that is damaging or deleterious to you and your spiritual life. Whatever you ask God that is in accord with his will, and that is in your best interest, he will give it to you. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We serve a giving God. Just like Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba bountiful riches, and she gave of her royal bounty to the king. What are you willing to give to God today? What are you willing to give? I know what he gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave us Jesus. Jesus gave us his life. Jesus shed his precious blood. Jesus bequeaths to us eternal life, an inheritance in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. That's what he gives us. What are we willing to give to him? All he wants is you. All he wants is you. I'm told of a story of an African, a missionary in Africa, who was talking about giving. And they had a huge container, flat container, they were taking up a contribution for. One brother got so excited, he said, "Let me have that." And they were kind of puzzled as to what he wanted. He said, "Let me have it." And so they went ahead and gave it to him, and he put it on the floor of the building. And they were wondering, what is he up to? He stepped inside. He said, "I want to give myself to the Lord." All of us should want to give ourselves to the Lord. Somebody might have said, "Well, he just had a misunderstanding." He might have had greater understanding than a lot of us do. That was a dramatic declaration and demonstration of the authenticity of his faith and his serious commitment to follow the Lord. Jesus has made it possible for us to give ourselves to him. He's given his life, shed his blood. He died on the cruel cross. He was buried on a borrowed tomb. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Did all of this for you, for me. He did it because he loved me so. He arose triumphantly from the grave. He has secured our salvation. We can now claim it. It's a matter simply of HBO. You know, God has spoken, we have heard, now we have to obey. Hear, believe, and obey. That's HBO. The same thing stated differently from what was stated in our lesson about those three essentials. Do you believe it with all of your heart? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he did do what the Bible says he did, that he is whom the Bible says he is. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave to walk a brand new life. You can start all over again. I hope you can have the